Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. There's a typhoon coming. Woohoo! Let's go play some golf. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is November 12th, 2013, and I don't know if there is a typhoon coming, but there's a reason I opened up the program that way. Right, Steve Marth?
That's right, because in yesterday's lesson, we learned that the focus of this sports feature, Zhongcan Pan, was raised by his father to play in typhoon weather conditions.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that his father did to make him strong was to take him out in all weather conditions, not just nice, sunny, breezy days, but actually take him out in terrible weather, storms, typhoon, heat, all sorts of types of bad weather. And that way, he not only would it make him stronger as a person, but also, very importantly, for a golfer, he would learn how to hit the shots in different weather.
That's right. Now, yesterday, the title of the lesson, of course, is Zhongcan Pan, Golf's Future Star. And I want to mention something about that. Golf's Future Star, we see the question mark after that. And we all know from yesterday's lesson that this young man is a phenomenal golfer. He has a lot of potential, but we're not sure still of his future. That's mm-hmm. why we have the question mark. There's no guarantee that this young man will be super famous
right.
or the next Tiger Woods. We don't know. He seems to have the potential, but like in all sports, something could happen.
Right.
You know, he could get hurt, get injured. Anything could happen. So that's why we have that question mark there.
And you also have to remember, in golf right now, there are many, many, many young stars. And for instance, the top young stars, Rory McIlroy, who has already won a couple of majors. And I believe he's 23 years old. So he's from the UK, and he's an outstanding golfer. And we're going to learn about some other young golfers here. So the world of golf is full of these young guys who are extremely talented. It's not really about physical skill. It's just as much about mental skill, right?
Yeah. As we mentioned yesterday, if you lose your focus just a little bit on the golf course, it could ruin your game.
Yeah.
You know, something gets in your head. You can't stop thinking about it. You're wondering if you're going to hit the next ball correctly.
Right.
It's really a mental game, and so you have to stay focused.
Yeah. All right. Somebody who does stay focused is Joanna Wirtz. Hi, Joanna.
Hello.
Great to have you back here. Give me something from yesterday.
Well, let's talk about how parents want to mold their children. That's not something that grows on bread. It is they want to shape and form their children as they're growing to turn out to be the kind of adults that they want their kids to be in the future.
Often parents will seem demanding as they try and do this, right?
I think lots and lots of parents in different ways are all trying to mold their kids. And when I become a parent, I'll probably try to do it too. Mm-hmm. The levels of demand are different, of course, but someone's parents may be molding them to be a very skilled violinist or pianist.
Mm-hmm.
Some may be molding their kids to be really good at a particular sport. My parents sent me to specific schools because they wanted my academic performance to be a certain way.
Yeah. What were you molded to be, Steve?
I was molded to be excellent in English.
Yes, and they did a great job.
Yeah,
so.
My English is pretty good,
yeah.
I'd have to say.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it can take many forms, right?
I think it's natural, although some parents are a little more extreme than others.
That's right. There's different ranges, and I'm glad you mentioned that as far as some parents are more extreme than others. It doesn't necessarily mean that the ultimate, the most extreme, will end up with success. And success has many variables to that. Because sometimes if parents are too extreme in trying to mold and push their kids, it can backfire, B-A-C-K-F-I-R-E, and it actually could end up, the kid could end up just rejecting everything, resenting the parents, the relationship is fractured, and actually the kid becomes so worn out by it all and disinterested, just gives up on things.
Yeah. That's right. They either become better at what they're doing, or they become what we'd say bitter, B-I-T-T-E-R, they resentful.
Yeah, and I have known, from back in America, I've known some athlete parents who, and this happens quite often in America, where parents, especially fathers, are pushing their sons to excel in certain sports, basketball or football or some other things. And I have actually known some where by the time they're 18, the kids are so sick of the sports that they just walk away from it. They put the ball down, they walk away, never to play again, and they never even want to talk to their father again. They're sick of it because the father somehow was trying to live vicariously through the kid and actually goes overboard in all of this.
I was going to say the same thing, Bill, and use that big word vicariously, which is spelled V-I-C-A-R-I-O-U-S-L-Y, vicariously. Mm-hmm. And that means the father has dreams that are unfulfilled and he wants to see those dreams fulfilled in his life. But the only chance he has now is seeing them fulfilled through his son. And so he's pushing his son or daughter to become excellent in whatever it is.
I've had that happen in my own family, not with my parents, but extended relatives. I've watched them be so obsessed with how their children behave and how their children do certain things and so controlling that in the end, the relationships were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Just completely destroyed. There's no mending it now.
Mm. Yeah. I've seen success in this. I've also seen failure. I've got some friends that have had that happen also. So as we go through this article, reading about Chung Tsung Pan's father pushing him, Rong Ho Pan was very extreme in pushing him. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. I wouldn't necessarily use this as a model and say this is going to work for everybody. Everybody's situation is different, and the child has to have that interest and desire and passion for whatever it is also.
That's just right. Can't
be the parent's passion.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, listeners, let's do this. Let's get into our reading for today. So turn to page 23, and we'll read the left column down to line 21.
Pan's achievements. I can't tell you how mature Pan is, Thurman said. As a golfer and a person, he's way beyond his years. While much of America might have learned his name for the first time during the Open, Pan is an unusually accomplished player. At 15, while at David Ledbetter's Florida Golf Academy, he qualified for the 2007 U.S. Amateur, becoming the youngest person to do so since 14-year-old Bobby Jones gained entry to the 1916 event at Marion. A first-team collegiate All-American at Washington this golf season, he qualified for the 2010 U.S. Open at 18, but missed the cut at Pebble Beach. Earlier this year, he was runner-up to 14-year-old Chinese sensation Guan Tianlang in the Asian Amateur. Once you can communicate with him, you realize he's a smart kid with great values who's really serious about getting an education, Thurman said.
Pan's achievements. So we hear again from his coach at college at the University of Washington, Matt Thurman. What does he say?
He says, I can't tell you how mature Pan is. That doesn't mean he doesn't want to tell us how mature Pan is. It means words can't describe how mature Pan is. It's a very useful sentence pattern that we use in English. I can't tell you how something is simply because there are no words to describe it. That's a very useful sentence pattern. He's very mature, this young man. He's a golfer. As a golfer and a person, he's way beyond his years. That means if he's 21 or 22?
Yeah, he's 21 right now.
It mm-hmm. seems like he acts as if maybe he's 35 or 40 years old. That's how mature he is.
Well, and this is very important out there on the golf course at this level, because you have to remain calm. And only by remaining calm will you be able to hit the best shots. There's a certain way of playing golf, and if you're out there getting upset and angry, you're going to be hitting balls into the woods and into the lake.
And if you've ever played golf, you know how easy it is to get frustrated at yourself. The angle of your club is just off a little bit, and your ball goes into the woods. It can be so infuriating, mm-hmm. this game. People love it and they hate it at the same time. You have to maintain mental control of yourself or you will snap.
Okay, now we are going to learn a little bit about his exposure in the American market.
Well, America's just learned his name just for the first time during the Open, but that's not the first time Pan has been playing. He's actually an unusually accomplished player, which means he has a lot of experience under his belt.
Yeah. People might be watching the U.S. Open in America. A lot of people there are saying, wow, who is this guy? I never heard of him. Well, that happens quite often, right? You know, people are already there making, achieving things, but they just don't have a lot of notoriety.
Well, if your game isn't televised, you can be in 100 important games. But if it's not on ESPN or the local mm-hmm. channels or something, how would other people know that you exist?
Yeah. Well, in fact, I mentioned to you everybody yesterday meeting the senior golfer from Taiwan, Lu Qiansun, in Pittsburgh in a golf tournament. There were thousands of people at that golf course that day. And there was me and about two other people that actually wanted to say hello to the guy. Nobody really knew who he was because he didn't have a big name, didn't have a lot of notoriety. But being from Taipei, me working here, I was like, wow, I got to go meet this guy. So he's another example. He has accomplished a lot. The guy's ranked 25th on the senior tour, but nobody really cares who he is because they don't know who he is. He's not popular or famous.
Mm-hmm.
Before this U.S. Open, Cheng Tsung Pan was the same way, but he had accomplished a lot. And we find out here at age 15 what happened.
Right. We're going to go back in time again and learn about some of his accomplishments at 15 when he was in Florida at the Golf Academy. He qualified for the 2007 U.S. Amateur, which is huge.
Yeah.
To be 15 years old and to be able to enter this tournament.
Yeah, it is. We've got the Professional Golfing Tour in America, the PGA, but then there's an amateur association in America. And what that means is golfers play in tournaments and they do not accept prize money. But there are national, regional tournaments, local tournaments, all levels. And it's actually very prestigious. This U.S. Amateur is a very prestigious tournament. And it features golfers of all ages. He was 15. There were guys there 25, 35, 45, even 55, people from all walks of life, but excellent golfers. They just aren't professional golfers.
Bill, I have a question. Could an amateur make money from endorsements, for example?
No, they're not supposed
to.
They're not allowed to take. If you wish to maintain your amateur status, you cannot take money from endorsements either.
So once you take money from endorsements or prize money, you become officially a pro.
You become a professional. And what that does is that prohibits you then from participating in amateur tournaments. The reason a lot of these guys don't take the money is they have no desire to be professionals. They're good golfers, but they have other occupations later, and they don't want to be disqualified from the amateur tournaments. And again, these tournaments are very, very prestigious. Now, for somebody like Pan at age 15, this is an entry. It's a way to lead into professional golf, to prepare him. And for instance, we learn about some of the history here and why it was so unique that he participated in this at age 15.
Well, we learn that he's the youngest person to do that since 14-year-old Bobby Jones gained entry to the 1916 event.
Okay. Now, Bobby Jones is known as one of the greatest golfers ever in not only just the United States, but in the world. And in fact, when Bobby Jones was in the U.S. Amateur, and for the first half of the century through 1900 and 1950, this U.S. Amateur was considered the tournament in America. It outranked the Masters. It outranked the U.S. Open.
In popularity?
In prestige.
In prestige.
If you won this, you were considered the best golfer in America.
Even more so than a professional.
Yep. Yep.
No kidding.
Yep. Because, like many professional sports before 1950 were kind of looked down upon. And this U.S. amateur tournament actually had a higher status. Before 1950, golfers, baseball players, football players, they weren't getting these astronomical salaries. All the football players, all the basketball players, they all had to have second jobs in the off season.
Right.
They were getting paid minuscule amounts. So in golf, this U.S. amateur was the top tournament for decades.
Wow.
So anyways, it's impressive that Pan was there at age 15. Now, we get into his university experience.
Okay. Moving ahead in time to 2010, we find that Pan qualified for the U.S. Open at age 18, but he missed the cut at Pebble Beach. So how do you qualify but then miss the cut, Bill?
Well, there are regional qualifiers. There are all different ways for people to qualify for the U.S. Open. But for instance, there might be like a qualifier for the states of California, Oregon, and Washington. And they'll say, the top 150 golfers in this area can play and we will take the top three guys. And so he might have been the top three, one of the top three guys. He scored well enough to say, okay, you have earned a spot in the U.S. Open. And the U.S. Open is four rounds of 18 holes. And after the first two rounds, you have to be under a certain number or you miss the cut.
Ah, okay.
That's what happens. When you miss the cut, you play the first two rounds. Everybody plays the first two rounds. And then they pick like maybe the top 60 guys. And then everybody else has to go home.
Okay.
That's what happens when you miss the cut. So, and that was at Pebble Beach. Fabulous golf course right there on the Monterey Peninsula.
Right on the ocean.
In California. Fantastic. And then earlier this year, Joe?
Well, earlier this year, he was runner-up to a 14-year-old Chinese sensation, Guan Tianlong, in the Asian Amateur.
And when you are a runner-up...
means you didn't make first place, but you did place. First runner-up, second runner-up.
Yeah. Okay. So runner-up, you came in second place then. You got the silver medal. So... Now, this means as far as coming in second is being the top amateur in that tournament.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll see an article about Guan Tianlong sometime in the future.
I think so. In fact, Guan Tianlong has his own story from this year. He participated in the Masters tournament.
That's
in Augusta, Georgia. Was the youngest participant, I think, ever there and actually had done pretty well in that tournament. So
it'd be interesting to see his family history, who's behind him pushing him to greatness.
Yeah, that's a good question, Steve. I'm going to research that. Hopefully we can do that later here in advance. Now we hear again from his coach at Washington, Matt Thurmond.
Well, he says once you can communicate with him, you realize he's a smart kid with great values who's really serious about getting an education.
Okay, that's good to hear because not only is he mature, but the thing is, and I really like this, he's also focused on the studies, it sounds like.
Getting an education, that's very important. If golf doesn't, work out, there's, if you're educated, you're qualified for a whole bunch of other jobs.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen with athletes all the time.
So often in America, athletes will go to university, they'll go to college, just to play sports. If they're good at sports, they'll focus on those sports and their studies kind of get left behind and they don't do well, actually. And so maybe they're being pushed through a little bit, you might say. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're not making the grades they need to make, but some people will just look away and they get pushed through the system and they come out of school without really sometimes knowing how to read.
Yeah.
Stories come out like that of athletes that don't know how to read coming out of university.
Especially in football and basketball. And they become so focused on the sport and they don't realize so few people actually make it big. And then they're just left and end up being failures, massive failures in life. So, but Pan is interested in his education, not just his athletic achievements. Okay, let's have our second reading for today.
Because it took Pan a while to feel comfortable with his English, a lot of his college teammates felt he was overly shy, perhaps even aloof. But Jonathan Sanders, Pan's best friend on Washington's golf team, became his partner in a campus cornhole league, a beanbag-tossing game. The two won a championship, and the American discovered a caring and sensitive friend. "He's a great kid," said Sanders from his L.A. home. "He would never do anything to make you feel bad or uncomfortable. If he cracks a joke to you, he apologizes right away to make sure you understand it was only a joke." Thurman said Taiwan allows college students an exemption from the military, and since Pan has been at Washington, he's returned several times to visit his mother, a former caddy. "I know he feels bad about not being able to go back for his dad's funeral," Thurman said, "but what can you do? I'm sure his father would be pleased with what his son has become."
Okay, he's very mature, but maybe a little shy, right?
Well, it's because it took him a while to feel comfortable with his English. I know from personal experience, studying overseas and learning a new language, my ability and desire to talk to people in another language, it really goes down when I'm uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, it changes my personality.
Well, sure. We all fear making mistakes and looking bad. Nobody
yeah.
wants to look bad.
So. I think what he went through is natural, too.
Yeah. And because of this, a lot of his teammates...
Yeah, they think he's aloof, he's unfriendly, he's not willing to take part in things. And so imagine you're not really comfortable speaking in a foreign language, a second language,
mm-hmm.
and it's compounded, it's made more difficult by the fact that you're becoming famous. And so maybe sometimes there's a microphone being put in front of your mouth
mm-hmm.
and you're asked to speak in a foreign language. It's very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
And especially in America, where people can be very rambunctious, and especially on athletic teams where it's almost expected, hey, the guys are getting together, we're joking around, carrying on. These guys don't really understand, geez, what's going on? Why is this guy so quiet? And without really understanding the difficulties a second language learner has to deal with. But one guy helped him out.
Jonathan Sanders, who was Pan's best friend on the Washington's golf team, he became his partner in a campus cornhole league. And through that, they sort of bonded and really got to know each other.
Okay, cornhole, it's just this beanbag tossing game. People play that like at picnics and cookouts and things like that. Just a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it's like a board with a hole in the middle, right?
Yeah.
You try to get the beanbag in there.
Yeah, yeah. You stand about maybe 30, 40 feet away and you just toss it out there. We find out that the two won a championship. This must have won a cornhole league championship. And his American friend, Jonathan Sanders, discovered what a great guy he is.
That's funny, yeah. You don't really know a person until you play cornhole with them.
Brings out the best in people.
Yeah, so he discovered yeah. that Pan was very caring and sensitive.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it takes a while to get to know a person.
Yeah. And Sanders goes on to say...
Well, he says he's a great kid, and he would never do anything to make you feel bad or uncomfortable.
Okay. So, you know, it's just, you know, he's quiet because of the second language issues, and they just get to know him and find out, wow, he's a really good guy. And Jonathan Sanders continues there in line 12.
Yeah, he likes to joke a little bit. Pan likes to crack jokes. But when he does, he wants to be sure that you understand it's a joke and that he's not making fun of you.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, he's worried about that as far as maybe upsetting his friends or offending people. So now, again, we hear from Matt Thurman, his coach.
Well, he says that Taiwan allows college students an exemption from the military. And lucky for Pan, he's a college student.
Yeah. Yeah. So why do we mention that?
Yesterday, we learned that when Pan's father died, Pan was in Florida and his relatives advised that he don't go back to mm-hmm. Taiwan for the funeral because they were afraid that he would get drafted into the military.
And at that time, what I can see here is he was not in college yet. He was golfing at an academy in Florida So he was not a university student. So at that time, he did not qualify for that exemption. Now that he is a student at the University of Washington, he does qualify for the exemption. And how do we define exemption, Joe?
Well, exemption is the fact of not having to obey a rule or do something that other people have to do.
Okay. All right. And now, since he does have that exemption, he has returned back here to Taiwan. He missed the funeral 3 years ago, but now he has been back several times. Why?
Why? He wants to visit his family, visit his mom, who, interestingly enough, is a caddy.
Yeah.
A former caddy, that is.
All right. What's a caddy? A Cadillac?
A caddy is the person who helps carry your golf clubs when you're golfing.
Yeah. Very interesting. Steve and I were talking about this before the program. In America, most caddies are men, and they will carry the bag for the golfer at a golf course. The total opposite is true here in Taipei at golf courses. In 99% of the cases, it seems like the caddies are female.
Mm.
So it's a fascinating switch for me. I'm not exactly sure why that is the case, but women are caddies here.
Bill, I have a question as well. With caddies, normally are they expected to give golf advice to the player?
Yeah. Caddies normally will do that. They'll tell you which golf club to hit. They might advise that. Especially what's helpful is caddies know the courses inside and out, and they can tell you that hole is farther away than what it looks like. Or you got to be careful. There's a lake behind that green. They might tell me stuff I don't even know. So they can actually help keep my score low.
Mm-hmm.
Very helpful. All right, and we finish with Matt Thurman.
Well, he says, I know that Pon feels bad about not being able to go back for his dad's funeral, but what can you do? I'm sure his father would be pleased with what his son has become.
Yeah, we talked about yesterday words left unsaid, and maybe and Pon had talked about his father watching from above, but maybe it's okay.
Yeah, remember yesterday we started the story with the deck, talking about making his father proud. And now we end this lesson, again, thinking about Pon's father. So it's a theme, a current that runs through the whole article. Pon's success is dependent upon his father.
Listeners, thanks for joining us for this very interesting golfer about Chung Tsung Pon, up-and-coming golfer. I'm going to be looking for him.
Me too.
And I hope he is successful. So thanks for being here. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Joanna.
And Steve.
Saying goodbye.
Bye, everybody.